So the animation which I'm running on the screen in front of you now is actually a 3D reconstruction of those actual slices. So if you take the embryo and do more than just those slices, but whole series of slices through the embryo, and an ILP student, as I mentioned to you before, did this and reconstructed them, then you can see the 3D relationships of the systems through the embryo in this eighth week. In this case, the gastrointestinal and respiratory tract have been isolated, and you can see the foregut region, the pharynx running down in the midline, running down to the stomach, which then goes through the duodenum, out to the midgut herniation that lies ventral to the embryo, outside of the ventral body wall. It's looped around inside this little stomach backpack, and then re-enters at the hindgut region and goes to the rectum. All of this midgut looping is still connected to the posterior body wall by a mesentery. It's not freely floating, it's attached by the mesentery. If you tear yourself open and pull your midguts out, you'll see it's all still attached to the posterior body wall by a mesentery of the blood for the blood vessels. The other feature to notice in this for the respiratory system are the two lungs and the trachea running off as a bud and running ventrally in front of the esophagus. We can similarly look at the other systems, in this case the cardiovascular system. I want you to see that the heart lies here directly above the liver, that now at this stage in development, in an earlier stage we had separate pharyngeal arches, and all of those arch arteries have been extensively remodeled during formation of the head. Some of them are lost or have insignificant roles in vascular development. Other ones have major contributions to the aortic arch outflow. But essentially, the entire cardiovascular system, which began laterally symmetrical, is now asymmetric, with individual blood vessels running the length of the trunk. So there's extensive remodeling of the vasculature occurs through the embryonic period. And when we look at the central nervous system now, we can see the spinal cord shown in this grey colour, running into the hindbrain region. This is bent over at this point at the cervical flexure. Then we've got the midbrain in this region, bent by the pontine flexure again to form the forebrain. The whole cortex is this yellow structure lying here. So this is the cortex which will grow over the surface of all of the underlying midbrain structures. So this is the most rapidly growing portion of the neural tube now, shown in yellow. Telencephalon. So this is now the five secondary elements of the neural tube, secondary vesicles. And this orange region here is the diencephalon, and one of the features I want you to notice that it has outgrowths that are forming the neural retina. So the portion of the retina for vision grows out from these diencephalon stalk regions here. So that brings us to the last stage, and by the end of the eighth week, we've got a fully formed face with a nose and jaw. You can see the upper and lower eyelids. You can no longer see that vascular plexus as we saw before because the dermis is thickening in this region. Notice that the ear is significantly higher than what it was in the previous stage, but it's still rising to the level of the eye. Both the upper and the lower limbs now are completely formed externally with the presence of a hip, knee and ankle on the lower limb. We've still got the large umbilical region here with the placental cord and herniation. And all of the body wall now has a thickened dermis underlying it, so we can't see any of the abdominal structures. Now this brings us to the fetal period. And what the first thing I want you to notice is the change in overall dimensions. So here is the stage 13 embryo that we looked at in the first practical. Here's the stage 23 we were just looking at. And now, 2 weeks later, here's the week 10 fetus in comparison in size. So there's significant growth in the length. It's 40 millimetres by this stage. It was 30 back here. So significant growth in the overall length of the embryo, fetus now. And the next four sections that we're going to look at is this 2 weeks on from that end of the embryonic period. We're going to look at the 10-week fetus. And to give you some sort of 3D feeling for it, we've cut the fetuses in the other plane. So these are midline sections or sagittal sections. And if it's away from the midline, we call them parasagittal sections. So they're down the length of the embryo, length of the fetus. There are four of them. Plane D is the plane closest to the midline of this fetus. And as we go through each one of the planes, C, B and A, we move laterally. So A is the most lateral section that we're looking at. If we begin by looking at this most lateral section, once again, I don't expect you to identify every microanatomy structure. We're looking at the features of the systems that are present or absent at this stage in development or haven't completed. So, once again, D, the most lateral, so we're looking for features off to one side. Here's the cortex that we saw previously. Around here, this dark line indicates the developing cortex of the fetus. Notice that we've still got a very large ventricular space, that's the lateral ventricles, and as the brain develops, those ventricles decrease in volume. If they don't decrease in size, we've got a hydrocephalus and an abundance of liquid in the brain. So this is the cortex developing. This is the midbrain region underlying it, going around to the brain stem just here. You can see the three flexures, the cranial flexure, the cervical flexure and the pontine flexure, forming this M shape, or W depending upon how you look at it. In this region, the bends in the neural tube. The pontine flexure opens up this fourth ventricle space, and this small structure hanging off the back here is the cerebellum, or hindbrain. And what does the cerebellum do? What's the cerebellum do? Any idea? Allows me to do this to the student. Coordinated muscle activities. So the fetus doesn't have very many coordinated muscle activities at this stage. The cerebellum remains relatively underdeveloped through most of the embryonic and fetal period, and continues to develop postnatally. So we rewire the cerebellum as we learn new motor coordinated skills. So things like walking is a coordinated program of muscle control. Things like when you reach 17, learning to drive the car, you've got to get a whole new series of coordinated muscular events together that you didn't have before. Initially it's hard, later on you become so laissez-faire about it, you don't pay attention to what you're doing. So that's what the cerebellum does, relatively underdeveloped at this point in time. If we move beneath this, we can see the base of the skull, the chondrocranium down here, and embedded within it is the developing pituitary in this region. So you can see the endocrine gland is present, separate from the oral cavity. And I'll point out to you another feature that we can observe at this stage. It lies just ventral to the developing pituitary in this region here. And this is described as the lamina terminalis. The lamina terminalis represents the very end of the original neural tube. So it's where the anterior neuropore was and where it closed. So that represents the very end of our original neural tube and where the anterior neuropore was. So we can see cartilage in this region, the vertebral bodies running down the length here, forming the spinal column, and lying behind it, the spinal cord. It's not exactly in the midline down here, so we can see the dorsal root ganglia. At this stage, we can see in the upper chest region, the heart, as we saw before, with its separate chambers, and it lies within the pericardial cavity. You can see the space surrounding the heart. And underlying this is the large liver. There's the stomach behind the liver here. As we move right down to the bottom, we can see that genital tubercle structure that I identified in the earlier embryo, so it's still present in the early fetus, and we still have a relatively underdeveloped external genitalia at this point in development. So still external genital development to occur. In the plane right next to it, we can see now, underneath the liver in this region, this is the herniated midgut lying outside the ventral body wall. But I'll draw your attention to the fact that all of these loops of gut are still attached by this mesentery, which runs back to the posterior body wall in this region here. So we can still see it's attached, it's never freely floating, by its mesentery. In this plane here, we can once again see the midgut herniation. We've got the lower limb in this region. But I draw your attention up here to the three body cavities, our three P's that were formed from the intraembryonic coelom. And that is the space around the heart shown here, the pericardial space. The space around the developing lungs, the pleural cavity, and the third space here, the space that we can see surrounding the liver and all of the small intestines down here and around the bottom of the abdomen, and this is the peritoneal cavity. What's this thin structure we can see separating the pericardial from the peritoneal space? Any idea what it might be? Yes. It's the region where the diaphragm's developing. At this point in development, notice that the fetal diaphragm is still just a very thin membrane. It's not a thick muscular walled structure that we can identify in the adult diaphragm. It's still relatively immature. It has complex origins, and the diaphragm is also one of these sites where we get abnormalities in development. So we can have failure for the diaphragm to completely form, leaving an opening between the two cavities, leading to a developmental abnormality. The last section, the one lateral, is this one here. You can quite clearly see our three body cavities. I want you to see down in the pelvic region here, this is where the acetabulum's forming, the head of the femur. So you can see the developing pelvic region just here. And lying in the peritoneal space, we can see the developing kidney. And I'll just go to a larger shot of that. So this is an enlargement of that region. And there's the developing kidney. You can see that it's got a cortex and a pelvis and a ureter, and above it will be the adrenal gland, which is very large at this stage. You can look at it on the full section. You can see how large it is. Notice that it's embedded in the posterior wall of the abdomen, so this makes it a retroperitoneal organ. So at this stage, we can easily identify that the kidneys are retroperitoneal, not lying in the peritoneal cavity. Lying just beneath the kidney, this dark structure that we can see just here, this is the developing ovary. This is a female fetus, and we can now see the presence of the ovary attached by its own ligament region to the dorsal wall. And here's the ovary forming. This is the inguinal muscular ring. And if we go and have a look back again at the midline structures in this region, we can see this genital tubercle structure here that lies in front of the pubic symphysis. And down beneath the genital tubercle, this space that we can see is the developing bladder, and this is the detrusor muscle surrounding the bladder. Behind this is the rectum, and lying between the two in this region here will be where the uterus would be developing in the midline. So the urogenital system, separate from each other, but still relatively primitive. I'll stop there, have a look through these weak 10 female fetus sections at the systems that I've described to you.